Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And folks, I'm going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. Trump launches revolutionary new website to expose illegal aliens getting taxpayer-funded Medicaid. President Trump has launched a new website called Criminals to Expose, the names, images, and information about criminal aliens receiving taxpayer-funded Medicaid. In part of the effort to secure American borders, expel criminal illegal aliens, and build the American economy for the benefit of Americans and their businesses. And so it's a project of the Trump White House, which explained the Trump administration has intensified enforcement against criminal illegal aliens receiving taxpayer-funded Medicaid benefits, arresting hundreds of unauthorized individuals since taking office, including those with serious criminal records who exploited taxpayer-funded Medicaid illegally or through loopholes. This crackdown, driven by executive orders, prioritized public safety and fiscal responsibility and has led to the swift deportation of many individuals convicted of hideous acts, ensuring the precious resource meant for American citizens are no longer diverted to subsidize violent criminals. Compounding the crisis, Democrats have refused to pass a clean budget bill to end the shutdown unless Republicans concede of their demands for $1.5 trillion in new spending, including restorations to Medicaid expansion, and would effectively extend coverage to over 1 million illegal aliens, funneling an additional $200 billion to such programs over the next decade at the expense of U.S. taxpayers. On the page are highlighted some of the criminals convicted of heinous crimes, like murder, rape, burglary, and assault. What follows is a long page of images identifying suspects such as illegal aliens from Dominican Republic. The particular suspect was involved in an assault, harassment, and robbery. The Gateway Pundit explained how the website now has gone live and publishes names, mugshots, and criminal charges of illegal immigrants receiving benefits from the federal health program. Some of those criminals were convicted of heinous offenses, including murder, rape, burglary, and assault, the report says. When Democrats have claimed no illegals get Medicaid benefits, the evidence shows otherwise. In fact, here, Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins confirmed, we have found, after studying about $100 billion in spending and thousands of illegal uses of the EBT card, that we have been moving off of SNAP. We've got 700,000 people that we've moved off of just since the president took office. We've arrested about 118 people. So this has been going on. There you go. What do you think of that, Style?
I feel like that's kind of an unnecessary step. Maybe I'm missing something here, but if we're compiling a website that is intended purpose is to show the misuse of Medicaid and SNAP benefits by illegal immigrants, that means we have that information. And if we have that information, why aren't we going after these people rather than spending time compiling a website? This information has to come from somewhere. If we're able to obtain it already, why do we need another place to put it? Get them out of the country.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's doing. He's been deporting them. Remember, we're fighting the enemy, or the Democrats are the enemy. Democrats are anti-Christ. They're anti-God, anti-American. They're anti-life. They're virtually Satanists.
I'm just saying, the Department of Medicaid is a branch of the federal government, subsidized state by state. and we've essentially created another department of the government for this website. If we just took accountability and investigated the Department of Medicaid, we wouldn't need to have this goose chase. We could just go after them.
Well, I think that's what DOGE is doing. I think that's exactly what they're doing. Anyhow, Democrats in Congress claim some federal workers want to suffer through a shutdown to harm Trump. Okay, I can see that. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen, he's a hardcore communist, is claiming that the struggling federal workers agree with Democrats' shutdown strategy despite the funding lapse creating financial uncertainty for hundreds of thousands who receive government salary. Well, see, remember, this is giving the Democrats leverage. Van Hollen, who represents a vast swath of federal workers in Maryland's D.C. suburbs, voiced confidence that the government employees and Democrats keep the government shuttered and indefinitely until their demands are met in a brief interview with the Daily Caller News Foundations on Monday. The Maryland Democrats suggest that federal workers care more than opposing President Donald Trump's agenda than receiving their next paycheck in a timely manner. Let me show you this. 14 times here, the Republicans have said, let's just go ahead, give us a clean bill. Just vote on this. The same bill that they voted on time and time and time again, open to government. But, 14 times the Republicans have told the Democrats, let's go ahead and let's vote on it, get a clean vote. And they refuse. They refuse. And so let me ask you this. With 14 times when the Republicans have asked the Democrats to open the government, and the Democrats have refused to open the government, yet there are people out there who are really stupid. They're really stupid, those that think that it's the Republicans that shut down the government. It was Chuckie Schumer's shutdown bill. And, again, the far left fake news media, they're really going to work on this. I mean, you talk about disinformation. They are out there. The lies are coming hot and heavy. It's just unbelievable. So, anyhow, those people, one of these days, do you think that they'll ever wake up and understand that it's the Democrats that have shut down the government?
I think people are waking up more and more, and I think people are waking up to the bigger picture of it. It's never been about the shutdown regardless. Yes, absolutely, the Democrats have now had 14 times they could have reopened the government, and we know why they don't, and we know that they want to try and use people's lives as leverage. At the same time, though, you can look at any instance that's going on right now. Government shutdown is just one nicely bowed up package to present to the public. We can talk about the fact that everybody on Congress on both sides of the aisle are still getting paychecks. No one's nominated themselves to give up their paychecks to help these people, have they? They wouldn't do that. We can talk about the fact the IRS is still functioning just fine, taking money out of everyone's paycheck every week. No one wants to talk about taking that money to help out families in need. We can still send money to Argentina. We can still send money to Israel. There's more than one issue when it comes to helping America, and that's we're not putting America first in any aspect. And the government shutdown is just one of many issues, and I think people are finally waking up to that aspect of it. Yes, this bill should have been passed to reopen the government many, many months ago at this point. We've had 30-plus days, so a month ago, I should clarify, many weeks ago. Yes, this should have been passed, and the Democrats are the one holding up. But it's not like we aren't throwing money away everywhere else, too. If it was up to me, the government can stay shut down, and that includes the IRS, and that includes everybody in Congress. And we can find a different way to pay for these things with money we're throwing away to other countries.
Do you folks out there hear how spunky he has become tonight? Very, very spunky. All right.
Well, we have Cliff on the line, too. Maybe he's spunky.
You think Clifford's spunky? Well, wait a minute. Hi, Clifford.
How you doing? Happy post-election. What you're talking about now, I think it's a stalemate. I think, the goodies that they want for the people that came in illegally, unless they get that health care, they're not going to budge. So I don't see this being resolved anytime soon. But one interesting thing, one more thing on that, is we're actually giving paychecks to people from NATO, and they're not getting their checks. So I did not know that the U.S. gives actual regular paychecks to NATO personnel. So that's interesting. Just getting to what on Wendy from last night, I was listening to a McCullough Report podcast, Peter McCullough. He's saying that there was one episode called The Root Cause of Post-Pandemic Illnesses, and it's his interview with a doctor that's similar. Peter was on his show, was interviewing him, and he was saying that this post-COVID, it's actually the vaccine-injured people are much more difficult to treat. But one of the things I did not know that he has in his suggestions was he has nattokinase, bromelain, and curcumin as his top three. But then he had dandelion root as being able to kind of knock down the circulating spike protein. And then, flaxseed oil, which you can get on Amazon for like $18. So all this stuff you can get on your own. And the other thing they're looking at is an augmented NAC, NAC, N-acetyl lysine or whatever you call it, which is also used to help repair the liver for people that, you know, have drinking problems. So, you know, that's what he's saying. You know, so all the stuff that he's recommending you can get on your own. You don't need a doctor. One more thing on politics and a question on Proverbs. You know, when Obama, you could see absurd comments coming from some politicians like Obama, like Newsom should be president. I mean, Newsom's a complete lunatic across the board. You know, he had cops going after surfers for surfing, not surfing too close during COVID. When it came to the shore, they were given like $1,000 fines.
He was caught having dinner with his whole family, 20 people there. Nobody wore masks. They were sitting right next to each other. And so the hypocrisy of these people is just amazing. And Newsom, I've never heard him tell the truth about anything. I've never.
Could roll back the tape. They have. He said he's nothing about this, some reference to South America that he made, that he said, I never said it, and I had a tape saying, you know, it was like something X about like people from South America. And he said, I never said it. And then they just rolled back the tape where he said it, you know. So, they have it actually on tape, some of his statements that he says he never said, you know. So, that guy's a complete lunatic. He's completely beholden to China. And then Obama says he should be the next president, which makes Obama look like the village idiot at this point. That's absurd, completely irrational to prop up someone like Newsom. But my question is on Proverbs chapter 22, the beginning. It's talking about the loving favor of the loving favor. Is that talking about? Looking at the beginning of 22, is that talking about the Lord's loving favor or the individual's loving favor towards other people? I'm not sure based on the prior verse.
Proverbs 22, if I remember right, let's see. He would talk about, let me see. You don't know which verses that it would be.
Right at the beginning of, I believe it was Proverbs 22.
A good name is rather to be chosen than a great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord maketh them all. A prudent man seeth. It doesn't say anything about
that. Well, loving favor rather than silver or gold.
Oh, okay.
Meaning,
a good name is rather to be chosen.
You can look at it, should I give silver or gold to people or loving favor? That could be one way of looking at it, you know, where you do someone a favor rather than give them silver or gold. Or do you pursue silver or gold for yourself or the loving favor of God?
Okay.
I could read it either way, maybe.
Okay. A good name is rather to be chosen. Okay, so he's talking about a man of integrity, someone who is upright and who's known for being honest. Then he says that in better than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. In other words, here, that loving favor would mean that he had been a kind person, a good person, in both God and man. Would rather be his favor, would be there for him, and that is better than silver or gold.
Yeah, okay. It could be you could, before seeking silver and gold, you could seek the loving favor of the Lord.
Yep.
You know, now they have all these ads, like things are going bad, you know, buttress yourself with silver and gold. But at the same time, it could relate to, say, you visiting the prisoners. You could give them silver or gold or counsel them personally, and that's more of a loving favor, you know?
All right, very good.
Okay.
I got to move on. The lines are lit, but you have a good one.
Okay, I'll see you. Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Who do we have next?
We have Adam in New York.
Okay, let's go to New York with Adam. Hey, Adam, you're in the air.
Well, God's5stones.com, I don't know if you heard that. I think Dr. Jerome Corsi, he exposed the Communist Democrats' election fraud, especially the Communist Democrats' election fraud in New York. And in New York,
I was one of the first ones to ever put him on the radio.
Yeah.
And
he exposed especially the fraud of the election fraud in New York City. And I don't know how come real people like us Americans won't go after these bums.
Well, there is so much election fraud. We have done that. Here's the reason. We didn't have a Department of Justice. The Democratic Communist Party under Joe Biden was completely corrupt. There may not have been one person, you know, and I'm talking about you had something like 19,000 that worked for the DOJ, and there might not have been one single person in there that was honest, okay? We did notice that, there might have been some because the whistleblowers that blew the whistle on them, they were thrown out, they were persecuted, and the FBI really went after anyone who told the truth. So now we have a Justice Department now. And now they are going after these people. Finally, they are going after. There's a lot of indictments, and Trump is pushing hard, and he's pushing the DOJ with all of their lawyers to go after these people. And so you're going to see some of that. Yeah, the corruption, the election fraud in New York and in Chicago and all the blue states is the Democrats can't. They can't do it legally. They can't do it the right way because it's totally against their nature of being Democrats.
And, Pastor, they got away with this thing called rank choice voting. It's a total scam. Rank choice voting. And also no IDs were required for voting. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. And they had a lot of see, that's why they wanted to bring in all of these illegal aliens, because they would vote. They would go out and they would send them in there with a bunch of fake IDs, and they would vote over and over and over again. They'd go from one poll to the other. And that's just, again, the Democratic Communist Party is totally illegitimate. Totally illegitimate. There's nothing about them that's legitimate. Now they got Zoran Mandami. It's going to take a little while before he completely destroys New York City. Had had Biden been able to stay in office a little longer, he would have completely, he was on the process of totally destroying America.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
all I can say now is God bless American President Trump. God bless America, and God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for your great show.
Well, thank you, Adam. Thank you. God bless, and thanks for calling. And, boy, I'm sorry you have to live there in New York. Are you in the city itself, or? Alrighty. Okay. I got to do this before we take another call real quick, okay? This is Bernie Sanders. No relationship to me. In fact, there's a good possibility if I was to ever run into Bernie, I'd give him a good whipping. But anyhow, Bernie Sanders warns that the Democratic Party may not survive. Well, that would be great. Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders warned on the New York Times, the Opinions podcast Monday, and the Democratic Party's survival is not guaranteed. The Democratic Party's favorability stands at 33%. According to Real Clear polling average, Sanders said on the podcast, and the party's survival hinged upon opening up to the masses instead of catering to elites. I can't believe it. He's told the truth. He told the truth. Bernie, do you realize what happened to you? When they find out you told the truth, you're gone. You're going to be out with Chuckie Schumer. When I ran for president, you know, one of the things that I learned is there ain't much of a Democratic Party. There are people on the top, Sanders said, and when I think about a party, I think about the involvement of large numbers of people at the grassroots level. People disagree, they yell, and they shout at each other. As people have said, democracy is kind of messy. But I think sometimes when people think that the Democratic Party, they think of these cocktail parties in New York City or L.A. where wealthy people mingle with consultants and mingle with the leadership. That's not much of a party, he added. That's really the kind of elitist institution. So one of the things that I believe, if the Democratic Party is to survive, maybe it will, maybe it won't, the transformation has to be open the doors to bring in millions of people to hear what they have to say, to have them start running for office, etc. Sanders ran for president as Democratic in 2016 and in 2020. He asserted on the flagrant in May that both of his campaigns experienced hatred from the Democratic establishment. They betrayed him. Hillary threw Bernie under the bus. They really threw him under the bus. But he stayed right with those that threw him under the bus, didn't he? Style must be taking calls.
Yes, you know, contrary to popular belief, I know there's a lot of people that think Bernie Sanders is this evil, wicked dude, and I certainly don't agree with 99% of his policy, but he does speak the truth on occasions like this. I don't think he's an evil guy. I think he's very far off in terms of policy regarding the United States on most issues, but I've heard him speak the truth about the Democratic Party and how party officials get elected, and that's true for both sides, is what he's saying. I know he's primarily focusing on the Democratic Party, but it's all about backers on both ends of the spectrum. And I've also heard him tell the truth about this whole rise in anti-Semitism and how you criticize any aspect of the country of Israel and you're deemed anti-Semitic now. I don't think he's an awful person. I think he has bad policy, and I think we need to look at people in politics for the people in politics, not so much their party affiliation.
Well, I would totally disagree with you that he's not an evil person. Anyone who's pro-abortion is evil, evil to the bone, okay? That's what the Bible says, right?
So let me ask you this, because I was curious about this today coming in after the election, obviously, in New York. I'm the farthest person from supporting communism or socialism. I've said it 100 times. I will never vote for anything under that guise or under that banner or any politician that supports it. So I'm not promoting Mondami by any effect. I think that's an awful choice. But again, I'm not a New Yorker. My concern is everyone, it's very easy to sit here and say that that's an obvious choice, that people shouldn't have voted for him, that that was an evil to vote for. That's a very obvious thing to say, but My issue is there wasn't another viable candidate with a legitimate chance of winning because of the two things we just talked about. The third in line here, the third amount of votes, had a unspecified stance on abortion and claims to be Republican. Wouldn't make a public stance on abortion rights and claims to be a Republican and a conservative. How is anyone comfortable voting for that? Obviously, nobody should be comfortable voting for Andrew Cuomo running as an independent. But in terms of that, those being the big three choices and everybody else not having enough financial backing from their party to be in that big three, who do you vote for in that scenario?
Well, in a case like you're talking about there, we knew that Mandumi is pro-death and pro-sodomite. We know that Cuomo was pro-death and pro-sodomite, but at least the third candidate there, he at least was not pro-sodomite. He at least, but we don't know his. He hasn't come out and made a clear stand as a pro-life position, but he hasn't said he's pro-death either.
My concern is just I don't understand how Republicans can sit here and say the Republican Party is pro-life and then have a candidate in any aspect. This has happened in many different offices, many different years, that isn't overtly pro-life and
well,
support them.
Their platform, if you read the platform of the Republican Party, it's right in their platform, it's pro-life.
Right.
That doesn't mean all the Republicans. You got several of them that are pro-death. You got these rhinos, as far as I know. The one there in Alaska, and also the one in Maine, you know, those are pro-deathers. I don't know if I think there's about three of the Republicans that are pro-death.
Well, and really, that's just where my stance of I don't abide by political affiliation, because yes, by definition, the party is pro-life. But the party is endorsing a candidate actively who is not pro-life and has several times over.
Well, the party should. I totally agree with that. I would be ashamed to endorse a pro-death candidate. In my opinion, you're pro-life or you're low-life. You know, the Bible says if you're pro-death, pro-abortion, you're an abomination, an unclean thing. And I'll go along with, I agree with what God says, right? I mean, can you go wrong by agreeing with God?
You cannot.
So, anyhow.
I'm just saying, I think, unfortunately, it was a very lose-lose situation in New York. And obviously, you know, the results as of today, it is a loss any way you look at it.
Well, what you have in New York, you have this huge, huge sin of omission. You had 7 million people that didn't bother to vote. Do you understand that? So what does that mean? That was sins of omission. They had it. Every one of them had an obligation to do the right thing. And many of them were Republicans just figured, well, they didn't have a chance, so why even bother? Well, you're supposed to go out and fight and take a stand, right? Even if it doesn't look here. You know, we always had a saying from day one in this ministry, when in doubt, charge, when not in doubt, charge anyway. Right? And so, do you believe that saying that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world?
Yeah.
Well, then act like it. That's what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to act like it. And that's why we never ran from a fight. We always run towards the fight.
I agree. I just think that time had passed long before this vote. We should have had a politician. I don't like politicians in general, but we should have had someone representing the Republican Party who actually represented conservative values. I think that time was long gone before this election came about.
Well, we're going to watch what happens now in New York. It's going to take a little while for the complete destruction. You know what I would do? Do you remember a movie back in the 80s? There was a movie that came out, and that fellow... trying to think of his name. Kirk. I think, what was his name? He's the one they played in that movie. He played Elvis in that one movie. He played in that movie where they've just built a wall around the entire New York City. And they just turned it into a giant prison. They just dumped all your prisoners in there. And then somehow they had kidnapped the president of the United States, and he was being held captive inside that city. And that Charlie Kirk went in because he was a criminal. They promised him that he would be pardoned if he was to go in and be able to capture, to release the president. You probably don't remember that movie. Of course, back in the 80s, it was probably before you were born. Yeah. And so I'm trying to think of that.
It's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, it was probably done before you were born. But anyhow, we'll be back right after this.
When we come back.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. You'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from that sting. Sin is a burning desire. To that burning lake of fire. You go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire.
All righty. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. Very quickly, got to tell you, folks, this coming Sunday, people will say, you got to give the address to your church. Well, it's 14781. That's 14781 Sperry Road. And that's in Newberry, Ohio. 14781 Sperry, S-P-E-R-R-Y Road, Newberry, Ohio. We start at 9 a.m. with a in-depth Bible study. And then at 11:30, we have the morning service. Well, actually, 9 a.m. with an in-depth Bible study. And then at 10, we go into a prayer meeting. We have a big prayer meeting for all you folks out there that send in your prayer requests to us. And even the ones that just send in donations, we take your name and address, and we pray over that. We pray for you for supporting us. And that goes out for an hour. And we have a number of people all with stacks of letters praying over it. And then at 11:30, we have the morning service. And then at 5 p.m. in the evening, Pastor Hal preaches the evening service. So there you go. And again, that's 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. Let's go to PA. We have Ray in PA. Hey, Ray.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm okay tonight. How are you?
I'm a little about the election last night. You know, a little disconcerting. But anyway, my biggest concern is the midterm elections that are coming up next year. And I think that if Donald Trump does not get on the ball and start taking care of the economy in this country, it's going to be a bad thing for the American people when they go to the voting polls. That's just my personal opinion, because the economy itself is not doing well, no matter what anybody says. Gas prices are still up. Food prices are up. And he needs to do something to take care of this country and stop running around the world and taking care of the world. So if he doesn't do that, I think there's going to be a bloodbath. And the Democrats can lie and lie and lie. And the foolish American people, they just go on believing the lies.
Well, you know, what you're saying is true, but then again, when you talk about food prices, it depends on where you buy your food. And
well, that's true.
It's a lot. Like today, I just filled a cart with groceries today. Filled, you know, one of those big carts for under $50. Now,
well, like you, go ahead.
If I was to go to Giant Eagle or to Heinen's or one of those, to fill that cart would have cost me $200. Okay,
I can agree with you on that too. Yes, that
and
is
so,
true. Depends on where
so,
you go.
Well, yeah. You see, we have. I go out in the Amish area out there where they have a lot of what they call used to call them salvage stores. They don't. They're just like discount food stores. It's the very same stuff you get at Walmart for much less, or Marks for much less. As far as gas prices go, here we're at about $2.89.
A gallon.
What's it like where you're at?
Where I am, it varies between, say, 293 to 325.
Oh.
So, again, it depends on where you go. It's, your no-name gas station, you know, compared to Wawa gas stations, compared to Sunoco gas stations, the prices vary. So,
if people would spend more time, too, to, you know, check the prices and going, what'll happen? I had noticed something that used to be at these salvage stores. You'd go in there, and during the day, there might be 10 people in a store. Nowadays, the stores are packed. People realize that they're, you know, and they're going to where they can get a deal. And some of these other stores are going to have to become more competitive than that.
Well,
you would hope that
would happen. But the American people, they're, you know, with the food stamp situation going on, and I mean, the Democrats are just going to lie and lie and lie, and the American people see these things going on, and they're going to fall into these lies, and they're just going to believe it. And I just think it's going to be, you know, that what happened yesterday, I think, is just a harbinger of what's going to come. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. And as far as Bernie Sanders is concerned, he's at the bottom of the list. He's nothing but a liar, and he hates Israel. I can't believe he's a Jewish man who hates Israel.
Well, the very worst anti-Semitic people are Jews. They're the very worst. These are the ones Jesus spoke. Paul spoke about them in Romans 9, and Jesus spoke about them in Revelation 3. But those that say they are Jews but of the synagogue of Satan.
And how many of them voted for Mondami up in New York last night?
I can't believe that. I know.
Amazing. The younger crowd, they're lost. They have no idea.
I know several of these that are, they're Jews that are professing Christians. They're professing Christians, but they're Jews, and they hate Israel. They're very anti-Semitic. And I know a number of them that come to me and try to convince to me how bad the Jews are, and they are Jews. Okay.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like George Soros. George Soros.
That's terrible.
He's one of the worst out there.
Yes, he is.
Schumer.
Oh, Chuck Schumer. I bet they're all Israel haters. I just, you know, how do Jews hate Jews? I don't understand. But they do.
Yeah. You're telling me.
So. Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you. I hope I'm wrong. But like I say, I think it's a harbinger of things to come unless the Republicans get on the, you know, get on the trail and start, you know, getting the American people. What I think Donald Trump should do is go right on television, take it directly to the American people. But for some reason, he's just not doing it.
Well, he's been on television every day. I mean, I
well,
see him
I
on
mean,
there every day.
I mean, on a, you know, late night, not late night, but, you know, at night, 8, 9 o'clock at night, telling the American people what's going on, what the Democrats are doing. I mean, 14 votes and Democrats just keep turning it down and blame the Republicans. And the people are believing it because of the food stamp situation. That's one of the biggest things, I think, that really hit home yesterday in a couple of these states. That really, people are just angry right now, and they're getting angrier.
You know, at our church, we have food, and we've told people, if you need food, come and we'll give you food. Very seldom do we ever get it. It used to be we used to actually give out quite a bit of food, but nowadays there's so many places out there that have the food banks in so many churches that there's plenty of food. There's plenty of food.
There is plenty of food. That's true.
Yeah.
There is, yeah.
So, but people are, they're making a lot of this out a lot worse than it is. This is the whole thing, like you said, the Democrats with so-called leverage, but they're playing off the ignorance of the people, the stupidity of people. I have a clip, Lord's willing, I'm going to play tomorrow night.
Okay.
It's Barack Obama. And if you were to hear what Barack Obama has to say, it's really interesting. Well, you know what? I'm going to try to, and it might not come out good, but I'm going to try to, and the volume is low, but this is Barack Obama when he was speaking to his own people.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
That was Barack Obama. You're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
No, of course not. And one last thing.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve Chairman, he has got to go because he is creating more problems for Trump than the American people can realize.
He's doing that on purpose.
That's exactly right.
He's one of the stay-behinds.
Yes, he is. He is. Even though Donald Trump put him in office, he is trying to destroy what could be a really good economy. So,
yep.
All right, that's all I have to say. Bless you.
Well, you said it very well, Ray. Thank you. Let's go out to Avon Lake. We have Tony. Hey, Tony. Hey, Tony. Are you there, Tony? Did Tony fall asleep?
Tony should be here.
Tony, are you there? Tony.
Well, if Tony doesn't answer, we may have to move on to Hal.
Yeah, Tony may have fallen asleep. Maybe I took too long with Ray. Okay, Hal's there, right?
Ray, I'm here.
you didn't fall asleep there.
No.
Here I'm looking, you know, the clock on the wall never turned back. But anyhow, I got it right now. I'm right on the right time now. So anyhow, so what is your opinion of all of this stuff that the election, the leverage of the Democrats? We're going to have some. I'm amazed that it's starting this late in the year. But, you know, we're going to go to war. I mean, this is going to be all-out war. You got out there in California, you got in Chicago, you got these so-called, all these blue states. These are communist country, and they've brought in, all of these sleeper cells. We got to really support Trump, and he's got to clean it up, because you have that unholy alliance, Hal. It's an unholy alliance between radical Islam and the communist. And
well,
you
Pastor,
notice that, yeah.
Pastor, you and other conservatives have been trying fervently to wake the American people up and warn them about what was coming, and they just wanted to ignore it. And they're doing the same thing where their very souls are concerned. Hell is going to be filled with people that got warned over and over again that they were on their way to hell. They need to repent. They need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they just scorned it. They laughed it off. They figured, I'm not going to do anything with it. And then they wind up in hell wondering how they got there and blaming everybody in the world except themselves. And so the people in New York in a couple of months from now, they're going to be crying out and blaming the Republicans and everybody they can for the mess they're in. and everybody's going to be telling them, you made your bed, now sleep in it. You know, just don't come down here to Texas. Don't come out to the other states with your liberal left-wing ideologies that got you in a mess in New York. They're just going to tell them, you know, we tried to help you out. You didn't want the help. So, you know, just stick with it. You know, this is what you wanted. And so our job as a preacher is to warn people the same thing. If they want to, so many of them, Pastor, are going to be committing Russian roulette where their soul's concerned. We're telling them, don't put it off. Don't put it off. But they think they can put it off to the last minute and play games with God. And God just isn't going to put up with it. You know, when he gives people the opportunity to receive the payment his son paid for them on the cross, that's a precious thing to God. And that's something you just don't scorn, put off like a salesman trying to give you some junk or something. This is the most precious thing God could give to us, is the payment his son paid for us on that cross. And when people treat it like a light thing, they're begging for judgment. You know, they say light rejected becomes lightning, and that's what it's going to become, both in politics and in their eternal souls. And if you want me to, I'll go ahead and go on with the salvation message.
Yeah, it sounded like you had a pretty good start with it. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, you know, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And, you know, people will keep thinking, well, no, I got my own way. And a lot of times you hear people say, oh, me and God, we have an understanding here and everything. But no, the Bible says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. And right before he died, he said three words, it is finished. You see, God's a God of righteousness. He can't let sin go unpunished or he wouldn't be the righteous God he is. He hates sin. But the good news is that he allowed Jesus to pay that righteous payment in your place and in mine. So now it's your turn. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to come to him admitting the fact you're a sinner and you need salvation and receive Jesus as your Savior? Or are you just going to put it on a back burner somewhere and think, well, you know, I'll just try and do it my way? And it's like if you were out in the ocean drowning and somebody threw you a life preserver, you know, and you thumbing your nose at the person that threw it at you and saying, I don't need that thing. I could swim 3,000 miles to shore through shark-infested water and storms. You'd be a fool. Well, hell is going to be filled with fools that have been warned every day by people like you and me and other people that cared about their souls and try to get them saved. But procrastination will lead to more people to hell than anything else. It's not that they'll say, I don't believe in what you're saying, but I don't need to do it now. And so they end up dying and going to hell. And but that's what's going to happen to a lot of people tonight that hear this message. Unless, you know, they have enough sense, unless God opens up their heart and puts the fear of the Lord into them where they know they got to get saved. And it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no work you could do to earn your way to heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7 that it was through the blood of Christ that we're saved. And then it's not through your good works or church membership. And that's applied to you when you receive Jesus as your Savior. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You have to receive that payment by praying and asking him to come into your heart, Romans 10:13. So you people that hear my voice right now, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. God knows every sin you've ever done, and there's no sin you've ever done that's too bad for him to forgive. And there's no amount of sins you've ever done, no amount of them, that he can't cleanse in a moment. If you come to him in sincerity and in truth, admit the fact you're a sinner and you need his salvation, you need his blood to redeem your soul from hell, Ephesians 1:7, like I said before. So if you want to receive that payment, pray right now a simple prayer with me. Let me lead you in a few words at a time. Even though we're praying together, though, I'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. So if you want to mean business with God, pray right now. Say, oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And Lord, I here and now ask you to come into my heart and give to me personally that payment you paid in my place on that cross so that I can have eternal life and have all my sins washed away and go to heaven instead of go to hell. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now, folks, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And that means more than just believe up there in your head. That means that you reached out and received the payment he paid for you in your heart. And why did he write that? 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know it, not to think it, wish it, or wonder about it, but know it. How do you know it? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. If you prayed that prayer just now, and you meant it, sorry about the fact you're a sinner and wanting Jesus to come into your heart and trust in him and him only for your salvation, that means he came into your heart with his Holy Spirit and gave you a spiritual birth into his family, and that nobody or anything can ever take away that salvation from you. If you died now or died 100 years from now, your soul would go straight to be with Jesus Christ because you just got born into the family of God through his Holy Spirit. And that's God's promise to you. It's not something you physically feel. You receive them by faith. Your feelings will come and go. They'll change, but God's promise never changes. So, folks, if you prayed that prayer, I'll see you in heaven. Go ahead, Pastor.
You know, one of the things, you know, that I see to people, well, you know, people say, well, I don't know if I'd believe that. Nothing like that's ever happened to me. God's never spoken to me, okay? And so, do you ask him, well, let me ask you this. Have you spoken to God? Have you prayed, got on your knees, asked God to show himself, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to make himself known to you? Have you ever done that? Uh-uh. Well, why don't you try that? Why don't you see here? I remember that Satanist who had wore all of those blasphemed God, and here I had a confirmation with him, and he was the Satanist, John, a big guy. And I poked him in the chest, and I said, the only thing's wrong with you, you don't have any courage. He laughed. He said, I fear not you or your God, and he laughed. And I told him, I said, well, see, John, if you had the guts, you would say the sinner's prayer, but you don't have the guts. If you had the guts, you would know. And he finally said, I'm not afraid of anything. I said, well, here, take my hand. He said, all right, impress me. He took my hand, and he repeated the sinner's prayer after me. He bowed his head. He repeated the sinner's prayer. God spoke to him right there, the Lord Jesus. His face, you wouldn't believe it. He didn't even look like the same person. He looked at me. Here's this big guy that one minute was cussing and cursing, and he said, he did. He spoke to me. Like you said, Jesus spoke to me, and I gave him my heart. He said, and he cried. This great big guy cried out there, right in front of all those Satanists. Folks, if you're out there listening, you say, well, God never spoke to you. Well, maybe what you need to do is start the conversation. If I were you, I'd get on your knees and I would ask God to make him known, make himself known to you. Pray to him, ask him first to forgive your sins. Say, please forgive my sin, Father God. And then ask the Lord Jesus into your heart to be the Lord of your life, and then ask him and see what happens. See what happens, folks. We're out of time for tonight, so what I want to do is I want to say thanks for all of you for being here. Thanks for your support. Good night. And then we want to say, after we say good night, we want to say God bless.
God bless.
And then we say, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight. 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 Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.